This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by our friends at Shutterstock.com. Sign up for an account now, and all new accounts can get 30% off any package by using the code FilmSack11 at checkout. That's FilmSack11, and all new accounts get 30% off any package. That's at Shutterstock.com.
Young people from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part, too.
A bug planet, a planet hostile to life. This is Film Sack.
Oh, sure.
Everyone, and welcome, won't you, will you, can you, to a new episode of the Film Sack. The Film Sack. Not really, it's just Film Sack. Putting the in there, damn it. Mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 141. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined tonight by Brian Buggery Hills 90210 Dunaway.
But you ain't got no legs, did Lieutenant Ratchet? Just shoot me, Rico.
Nice. I cannot. I'm dumbstruck by you bringing in Forrest Gump into this.
Ice cream, Lieutenant Ratchet.
That's pretty good. Also with us, Randy Greasy Recovery Fish Tank Kiss Jordan.
Oh, God. Aloha, everybody. Now listen up. I'm Coach Verhoeven, and I'll be taking you through the proper use of the communal showers here at Ayn Rand Memorial Junior High. Now, this is a co-ed shower, but we're a sexually open and free society, so you shouldn't find anything unusual about that, except, that all the boys' genitals have been removed and will be returned to them after they complete basic training. Now, get in there and get showering and have witty banter while everyone speaks in turn while naked together. And if your shower group doesn't have a perfectly diverse arrangement of gender and skin color, a couple of swarthy stand-in shower mates will be provided for you. I saw that, Jenkins. Don't you hide your breasts from me. This is the future.
Wow.
Somehow I knew you'd be obsessed with that scene. I just knew it.
That's amazing. Then finally, Brian, we require more overlords, Ibbot.
With all the formulaic material in this movie, I'm going to say this first. It should have been called Starship Troopers.
Oh, no, you didn't. Hold on a second. Much better. Sorry. Now do your thing. Oh, was that it?
Oh, that was it.
Oh, that was the whole thing.
That was amazing.
Oh, I got a little
extra.
I can throw in a little extra.
Give me an extra.
Oh, you got assigned to the Mormon regiment? Oh, sorry.
Man, I thought that was so funny. I caught that.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Did Scott Johnson catch Mormon?
Oh, I sure caught that. Just
Mormon extremist is what they called my
theory. Yeah, and they, of course, they're going to build this a rickety old metal camp somewhere with a statue of Moroni on top. Of course they are.
That's what it was. I was trying to think of that name earlier.
Yeah, if you say Moroni, that's something you order at Red Lobster. All right.
So how do you say it?
Moroni.
Moroni.
Yeah, there you go. Starship Troopers. What? Holy crap. My long time requested, finally on streaming. Perfect time to cover it. If you've never heard of the damn thing, Scott Fletcher explains.
Starship Troopers. In this sci-fi adventure, fire-spitting, brain-sucking bugs attack Earth and obliterate Buenos Aires. Coming to the rescue is a gutsy infantry unit led by hotshot soldier Johnny Rico, which heads to the alien planet of Klendathu for a showdown.
Ah! Yeah, that's right. That's where they go. That's what they do. It's Paul Verhoeven, Edward Neumeier wrote the screenplay. Also did the screenplay for that RoboCop business, also directed by Paul Verhoeven. You may know him from the original Total Recall. And he's just Showgirls, right? Showgirls,
yeah.
What else? The one with the freaking crazy lady in it.
Yeah, Forrest Gump. Yeah.
No, the Michael Douglas one, the
Fatal Instinct. Fatal Attraction.
One of the Fatals, that one. He's got a record of, pushing envelopes and taking names.
Basic Instinct.
That's the one.
Sorry. He did not do Fatal Attraction.
RoboCop 2.
Wait, who did Fatal Attraction? Which one's Fatal Attraction?
That's the one with Glenn Close and Michael Douglas.
Oh, Michael Douglas and...
This is
Ann Archer?
Hot chick.
Is this the one with or without the bull rabbit? Old Robert Rabbit?
I love that you repeated Ann Archer.
She's
cute. Sure. You're right. She's all right. Anyway, so here he is with Casper Van Dien, who's gone on to do some amazing stuff.
Not Will from Will and Grace, but my gosh, does Patrick Muldoon look like Will from Will and Grace throughout this film.
Yeah. Played Xander in this. Denise Richards, much younger Denise Richards. I don't know if you've seen her IMDb photo lately, but she looks like an android.
I used to think yeah.
she was. She was beautiful. She's just had so much work done. You can't tell what the hell's going on there.
This film has a surprising amount of beefcake.
Yeah.
Like every single person in the film is good looking, including Jake Busey, which is remarkable. They got him when he was gorgeous. Every young person in the film, obviously the big trope of the film is that if you're older, you're somehow damaged.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But right, like every young person is gorgeous.
I would even argue some of the older guys look all right. I think Clancy Brown looks pretty good.
Clancy Brown looks good, and he's the only older person that doesn't die.
early on in the film, it was breathtaking to me how gorgeous all the young people were. I'm like, where's the Hurley? Give me the one Hurley guy. They never did that.
Yeah, they never did have that guy. I think you need that guy.
Yeah.
Who was he in the freaking one where they all were dead? Flatliners. That was
Oliver Platt.
Platt.
Yeah. I feel like there's an unspoken rule that says if you're going to write a movie like this, someone has to be the foil like that.
Yeah, but when you've got an elite army unit, that's going to go take these bugs, the guy who's going to be the Hurley is the dumb guy who takes his helmet off during during assault training. Yeah. You're not going to have a big fat schlub. You're just going to have a dumb idiot. I can take you, Clancy Brown. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Michael Ironside still looking good. Rue McClanahan.
Ironside playing the exact same role he did in Top Gun. Precise same role. Right.
Exact same role he plays in everything. The only thing he ever did that's a little bit different is Sam Fisher in the Splinter Cell games. Just a little bit off of the norm.
I'm surprised he's not in every single movie we do because he seems like he's in every single movie.
Yeah. Right.
I love
him. He was in Desperate Housewives, and I would say he was playing a very different role.
I do not remember that at all.
Was he playing a Desperate Housewife? That is different.
Wait, did I just admit that I left back away from that?
Dude, you have just revealed a part of you.
I know where you are every Sunday.
I went to college with Eva Longoria and had to watch her TV show because she was
very good.
She's a hottie. That's a beautiful young woman there.
Dude, I watched it too, and it was really cool seeing Mary Alice in the flight chair.
Yeah, of course. Denise, I want to get on the Denise Richards thing for just a second.
Okay.
She, I thought, was real bad in this movie actor-wise. I thought her acting was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
very flat.
But just very pretty. Like, just a really pretty person, human being.
She had a crap role, and I got to start that thought by asking, anybody else read the book when they were a kid?
No.
Nope.
I meant to a couple times and just never got into it.
I meant to read it when I was a kid. Got too busy into Thundercats. Yeah. Just couldn't
it's
do
like
it.
It's like old 52, 53, something like that, right? Some old 50s book.
59.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but it was an important book to me when I was a kid, like when I was a middle school teenager, because it's like I mentioned in my opening, it's like Ayn Rand for kids.
Yeah.
Like everything Heinlein wrote, he inserts his own voice into every character. Well, not every character. All the cool characters, all the characters that are successful are speaking his philosophy, which is about self-reliance. And so it was a really big deal to me when I was younger. I thought Heinlein books were so important and so wonderful and everything. And this movie just eviscerates it. And like her character in the book
is how do you spell that?
Her character in the book is replaced with this vapid ditz who goes off to be a pilot and breaks up with her boyfriend by video And it's like, but we're still going to be, we're still good friends, right? Like, oh my God.
Yeah, write me, I hated,
I hated the role for her. I felt bad for her.
I hated the role for everybody in the first half of the movie. I really enjoyed the second half quite a bit. I remember enjoying it in the theater as well, but I think that the whole first half of this movie is boring and I nodded off a couple of times and I freaking hated it. The only, there were a couple of moments, but for the most part, dude, it's 90210 Melrose Place, which is funny because there's actors from both those shows in there. but it's just so vapid and so like, oh,
it's,
really?
It's absolute formula. I mean, oh, he's in class and he's drawing a picture, but oh, he's getting called on to answer a question. And,
yeah,
you know, the cute girl in the back kind of likes him, is looking in the back. Oh, better hide the picture from her.
You are forgetting about the most important part.
Which?
That you know, that Michael Ironside is walking around with a stub.
Dude, that was great effects.
Yeah. No, and he was really poking it, he was poking people with it, he was hit poking Denise Richards with a stub.
You could tell it was the Forrest Gump trick they did on what's his name's legs. Not to reinvoke Forrest Gump for the third time in 2 weeks.
Why I referenced it.
Right? Yeah, when Lieutenant Dan had that looked like his legs were gone, it's green screened out and made to look like stumps. And I remember it being a huge deal when Forrest Gump came out. This is 3 or 4 years later, and it still looks crazy good.
It was pretty brilliant. Like what they did was they used a vest and pants on him that they could green screen.
Yeah,
like so he was constantly holding his real arm out in front of that color, and oh, it was just. I was amazed when they walk up and have him bang into Denise Richards' shoulder with the stump.
Yeah, poking
like,
it.
Looks good.
Wow.
I like how she just could care less, though. That was the best part of it.
Oh, yeah, whatever, dude.
Pukes it insect in size but can handle.
No, that was the other girl. That was Dina Meyers' character, right?
No, Dina Meyers didn't harf. Yeah. No, Denise Richards harf.
Yeah, Richards was getting all worked up about it.
I can't take it. I'm going
to Dina Meyers had trouble later when they were out in the field and they were in that place to figure out why the bugs got everybody and the colonel was in the freezer.
Oh, brain, right. It's digging
brain
through the
bug.
His brain's been sucked out.
Yeah.
Buzz elected you, Rico. It looks like his brain's been sucked out, sir.
I wonder if I recorded that. I might have. Of course I did. Dina Meyer, big fan. Like her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she's great. I think she has... I'll just leave it at that. I'm not going to say anything about anything else. Because I take too much heat on this show. I take a lot of heat. For everyone thinks I'm all about picking apart the ladies. I'm not.
You're the Jerry Seinfeld of our crew. She's got land hands.
What's the deal?
She's a low talker.
She definitely has a willingness to take her top off.
Yeah. She seems to. But here's the cool part about this. Director Paul Verhoeven and cinematographer Jost Vacano. These guys did the one take.
Her boobs were green screen.
It was a one take, that whole shower scene, one take. And they did the entire thing naked themselves. It was all on a dare from Dina Meyer.
Oh my God, they got naked too?
Yeah. She talked him into it.
So
is there anything less, listen, is there anything less sexy?
Joss Vacano was about 65.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
Is there anything less sexy than a 60-plus-year-old dude with a bunch of camera equipment and they're naked otherwise? Like, gross, dude. Gross. Dina Meyer, bad dare. You should have just dared them to have their wieners out or something.
I got to say his name right. It's something like Yost.
Is it Yost? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. The guy who's he's responsible for, like, Das Boot and RoboCop and Total Recall, like – really famous and successful cinematographer. I just don't get the idea of having to get his clothes off to make that scene.
Well, she dared him. They went for
it. Because this movie is such a joke, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you're making serious cinema.
Yeah. No. I mean,
it's when I was watching it, I was feeling like I was watching a comic book, you know, like not a current comic book, not a, like a,
like
Alan Moore or Robert Kirkman or something like that. Like a one you'd get free when you bought a box of cereal that was taped to the back.
Yeah.
And it was, you know.
Only if Captain America was here. That kind of stuff.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. My cereal's been stolen. Oh, no. Well, I'll come to, you know, that sort of thing. Like a very.
Let's get to the honeycomb hideout.
Even when they try to make the characters more than. Exactly. Yeah. Even when they try to make the characters more two-dimensional, it's just extra two-dimension.
You know, and you know what's frustrating about that? Because you're onto something. What they could have done is gone. I like the idea of satirizing that image. So taking this shiny image of what it means to be a hero in the future and the shiny image of these kids and they're all good looking and all that stuff. Somehow, I think he tried to, but I just don't think it worked very well. He tried to be satirical on top of that and do things that would shock you out of it. Like the kid getting his head blown off during the exercise, or the girl accidentally shot him in the head because his helmet was off.
Accidentally shot him in the head. Like, whatever, she wouldn't let go of that trigger.
Yeah, she was terrible. I think she should have been stripped of her freaking thing, not him. But anyway.
I thought it was a drone that shot him in the head.
No, it was her.
She got electrocuted. That's the reason why she
okay, totally, right, right,
that's
right.
That's why she spazzed out.
The troopers had the live rounds.
And it's really disgusting and really graphic and really gross and really, really actually looked really good if you're into that sort of thing.
But, awesome.
But it made you, those moments are like, oh, it isn't all shiny and... Mm-hmm. Captain America. It's just disgusting and horrible and terrible. And I just don't think they ever bridged that very effectively. It just felt disjointed because in RoboCop, I thought they did a better job of saying this future's so damn ridiculous that moral code isn't even decipherable anymore. You don't, good from bad doesn't even make sense. What is good? Good's like the old bad, and bad's even worse than any of us can imagine. There was always kind of that, I'd buy that for a dollar, weirdness strapped on top of it. This tried to do that a bunch of times, but it just didn't do as well with that, I thought.
It strayed too far from the subject material, and it makes me really sad because I'm not saying that Starship Troopers is a great book, but Heinlein has a message, and he goes as far as an author can go to deliver his message, and that's completely lost in this translation.
Yeah.
This movie is about... is about the expansion of the military and how a government can convince people to do anything that they want to do as long as it piles on the jingoism and aggression. And it's not about the organization of society, which is what Heinlein was always writing about. Right. And it makes me kind of sad because I want you guys to all go read the book, but I want to warn you, it's not a great book. It's just better than this crap.
Well, are there big insect aliens and stuff? That stays true to the source, yeah. Right? Somewhat?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all just described,
obviously. But they're ancillary to the point.
Right.
Right. And, you know, I have fun with this movie. Even though it is over 2 hours long, which usually is way too long for me.
Last half's a blast, Brian. There's fun to be had in there.
Right.
See, I don't mind the first half.
I like the first half as well.
Oh, it just happens that I watched this movie in halves. Scott said last week that we should watch the movie in two parts, and it just happens that I did. And I'm here to tell you, for me, the first half was better than the second half.
Really? Yeah,
the first, yeah. Better, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
Yeah.
I'm going to poo in a bag, put it on your doorstep, and light it on fire.
I'm going to have to agree with Randy as far as a... film the, goes, and yeah. I think the first half is better. But
the second, this first half is where all of the potential lives, and the second half is just about killing bugs. It's a student film fun, version though. Of StarCraft.
Well, right, but that's the point. Yeah. The first half is unrealized potential. Sure, I'll give you that, but it's unrealized. The second half is realized fun, and that's great with me.
Well, there are two very different halves. It is an action half, and then there's a setup half or a character.
Right.
Yeah, I think, can't really call it character development.
No,
it's like character,
you can't. Character to
presentation. Right. Here's this character. He doesn't, you know, his parents want him to go da da da. Oh, he wants to go da da because of a girl.
There's no depth to it. And you could rip all that stuff out and put it in one of these stupid 90210 style shows. You could put it in that, what's that diary mean girl show that's on WB where they. Some
gossip
blog,
girl
Gossip Girl. This could have been a Gossip Girl episode. It really could have. The only difference is there's future football being played, and that's about the only difference.
Can, talk about can you future guys, sport for a moment. Let's have Brian sport. Dunaway go, and then I'll go.
All right.
No, okay, yeah, I was going to say, can you guys name the point in the movie that you feel that it turned around for you?
Yeah, the minute they started shooting aliens. As soon as
basic
he said,
training,
war,
or,
oh, so we're going saying, to war. When he said that, I was good. Right.
I think it changed for me whenever Rico was like he was super sad that he lost his family, and then he went in and they tore up his contract and he's like super happy, and I'm like, okay, it's like he's like screw him, screw all of them, I don't give a crap.
Oh, my
let's
family's
have fun.
Dead. Oh, you tore up that thing, nice.
So happy.
I wonder when they were showing the destruction in Buenos Aires, it was actually film footage from the Oakland Hills fire in '91, and the whole time I'm watching it, I'm going. How do those people feel about this movie?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like, how are they sitting around going, let's go see a movie. Oh, dude, your house is in it. This is your house burning.
This is the spot in this show where I want to say, like, there's a whole other potential film here that got left on the floor. And it makes me sad because, like, for example, with the Buenos Aires destruction, you can't help as a viewer but wonder, was the government behind that? Were they playing that up more than it really was? This, like, are they whipping everybody into a frenzy on more? Yeah.
Right. Me too. I thought the same thing. It's like, okay, they're wanting that to happen. Right.
Right. And there's like this whole other story that you wish was being told in this film. Mm-hmm. And the second half is the reason why I hate the second half is because it doesn't. Like, the whole second half of the film, Neil Patrick Harris is going from being a freaking high school graduate to being the most powerful man in the military, and it's never depicted. What? How is this, like, the only thing you get is a commercial where he shows you how to shoot an alien.
Yeah, he was
like,
gone for a long time, that guy.
Yeah.
What happened there? Why did you not give me that in the film?
His story would have been really interesting compared to the other two. Yeah, follow him instead of Denise Richards. Oh, flying. Oh, oh, I can back out really fast. Watch.
Yeah. And then I can let the ropes at the last second. Whoop.
She happens to get assigned to the same crew, the seat next to the guy that her boyfriend was fighting in Future Sport. Oh, come on.
Whatever. It's not, the first half isn't 100% void of any goodness. Like, seeing a golden girl with her eyes blasted out teaching everybody about bug guts is pretty awesome.
Right.
There's some good, there's fun to be had there, but. That, I mean, there were few and far between, and most of that stuff, give it or take it. I just, let's get to the action. It's what the reason I guess I'm saying this is, by the time that was all done with, I was resigned to the fact that what I was going to get next is just a bunch of mindless action without any other exposition or character development, and that was fine with me at that point because I'd already donated an hour and 10 minutes to this. Let's give me some payoff. Let's have some blood and some guts and some explosions and what I think are effects that totally hold up. Like, I'm not watching this movie through the eyes of a guy in 2012 going, oh, yeah, 97, things were rough. Not at all. It looked real good. Like, really good to the degree that I'm not noticing a lot of seams. There were a few things, but for the most part, it was like, wow.
There was a few green screen spots where they were, like, in front of, obviously, a screen. But, yeah, for the most part, the bugs and stuff still looked very good.
The melting, melting off hands and stuff.
Yeah,
and
that looked really
cool. That looked great, yeah.
It looked really cool. And the mix of practical and special effects is really well done here. I think Verhoeven's probably... as good at directing that kind of stuff as anybody, and he had good people making stuff. But like the big vagina monster looked really good in CGI from a distance and looked real good up close,
Yeah.
With the spike coming out of there. Ugh. I mean, that was what they were trying to show us, right? That was supposed to look a little
phallic. I think so. Yeah.
I hope that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it wasn't supposed to be that. Oh, wow. That didn't look like that when we were building the model.
Uh-oh.
Look how it throbs. Huh. Never made that connection.
I got trivia for Brian Ibbett here. The band at the graduation party, they played a David Bowie song. The lyrics are reworked a bit to refer to the 23rd century rather than the 21st. But do you know what song it was they were playing?
No, I totally missed that. I remember the band.
I have not been to Oxford Town is the song.
Huh.
I've never heard that song. So.
I don't think I have. That's definitely a deep
track.
It was
like, would y'all stop bringing stupid music trivia?
What am I, the music guy or something?
I like it. I like Interesting. It.
So the Bowie song is I've Never Been to Oxford Town?
Yeah, that's what it says.
I have to see what album that's from.
What it says right here in this email I got from some stranger.
Thing, yeah. the movie is also semi-interesting as it features two main villains from the Highlander movie franchise. Clancy Brown, of course, played Kurgan. In Highlander, and Michael Ironside played Kitana in Highlander 2, The Quickening. He did not play Kitana in the Mortal Kombat video game series because that was a lady with boobs. During the scene where Michael Ironside's character falls into a hole and gets his legs bitten off, spoiler here.
Sarlacc pit.
Apparently.
Yeah, right.
Dina Meyer hit her head in that scene, and I watched it, and you can see her get hit, but you don't see the aftermath. She was actually knocked unconscious and suffered a concussion.
That's my example of the worst effect in the film. Michael Ironside is on a blanket that's got some sand on it. He has a hole cut in the middle of it.
People are shaking the
feet down into it. People are shaking it. It's like the anti-Sarlacc. It's like they thought what was the most scary and really compelling thing in the Return of the Jedi?
Return of the Jedi had to be the pit, the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah. It was like frightening. And it was frightening because it was just a big hole with a bunch of barbs in it.
And like, what it meant. It was like, you didn't know what was going
on down there. Yeah. We're going to put Michael Ironside on a blanket and stick his legs through it. And like, I was just really disappointed. At that film, I was building up to the great. I knew he was going to die. And I was just waiting for that. I knew he was going to die. And I knew that obviously Dina Meyer character's Dizzy was going to die because she'd just gotten laid.
Yeah, and, that's the rule.
And man, that was so unsatisfying.
Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, him shooting him in the chest, I get all the, that's supposed to be this moment of, remember what he said, you'd do it for anybody. If you better do it for me, if we do it for anyone, when he shot the other guy who got picked up by the mosquito. And I just, and I went, oh yeah, that's right. He gets shot in the chest because Rico has to make the hard choice. I mean, they've telegraphed everything in that part of the movie. But again, this is where I'm having fun. I'm having a blast here. Look over the wall of that thing and there's a billion bugs coming. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah. this is before Poor, you know, Peter Jackson wowed us with, you know, Helm's Deep, the Battle of Helm's Deep and things.
Yeah.
It looked really good. Like, all those bugs were freaking me out. And there was I remember this huge argument in the late 90s where the internet just started to be loud with idiots and trolls. And people were always going, Starship Troopers totally ripped off Blizzard and took this, they stole the StarCraft thing. And
okay, let's talk about that.
Here's the thing. The movie came out before the game did. Number one. Number two, the game in the manual and in its credits give credit to the author of the book from the 50s, not to Verhoeven from the 90s.
To Robert Heinlein.
And they all, like, not just them, people like Outwars, Tribes 2, the Warhammer 40K guys, Crisis and Halo, all these people credit, and think about it, those games all have very tonally, even with this movie, have a kind of connection to it. They all give him credit for inspiration and stuff. So I don't know what that big war. It was the weirdest fight on the internet about, you know, somebody's ripping off somebody else. And most of it was about the film ripping off the game. But
it is really breathtaking to see the TVZ, the Terran versus Zerg battles in this movie after having played StarCraft for years and years.
Especially because, like, there's classes going on. Right?
Yeah. Like, there's the tank. There's definitely different unit types. Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely everything except creep. There's not creep.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I could leave out of the film. Like, the whole second half of the film, I'm going, I wish they would just call in some Vikings and some medevacs. Like, Terran are not using their best units here. What is wrong with you people?
But then they'd make some Guardians, and they'd be all screwed again. And yeah, it'd be an awesome back and forth. Really, all I'm saying here is I'd like to see a StarCraft movie. That's what I'm getting.
Oh, dude, it would be so much fun. Like,
imagine that.
Like I say, just the units, because this movie is only about the Space Marines. Yep. That's all it's about. There's only Space Marines, to the slight degree that there's some people in, like, the Bridge of the Hyperion. They get easily blown away by some slow-moving plasma that's rising up out of the atmosphere.
That one's awesome. Like,
now, well, they're big, you know, hard-to-maneuver ships.
Sure.
Unless you're backing them out of a parking space.
Right. They could. I was like, why don't you guys just park higher? You should just park higher. Right. Why are you parked so low?
Right. one of the things I really liked was, at the time in 97 when I saw this in the theater, I thought, oh, this, your vision of this internet of the future here with it, would you like to learn more and all that? I thought, that is ridiculous. Come on, guys. I know what the internet is, and it's not this. Oddly enough, it's a lot more like that now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, a whole lot like that now.
I was freaking out. Fox News in this movie was really, really accurate to, like, Fox News 2004.
Propaganda kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
It was really accurate.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's something about, like, where the RoboCop stuff failed for me was they thought TV would end up like that, and it never really has. But the internet kind of turned into what they said, and it was this video-rich, you know, thing that we have now that wasn't that different. They may not be so full of propaganda, or I guess it is, but you still get to choose which one you want to hear.
Right. I'm just glad it wasn't Jurassic Park,
because
we'll be using Unix systems.
Yeah. Oh, the Unix system, dude. One of these days, we need to do a show all about the worst tropes in the history of film. That one's right up there, isn't it? Top five, probably.
Can we just watch Last Action Hero again?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, let's see what else. I mean, a lot of that stuff, just to stay on that for a minute, was very similar to RoboCop, like commercial TV and how this weird propaganda thing on top of everything seemed to be very, very similar to that.
I'd buy that for a dollar, replaced with, would you like to know more?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Do you think they did that on purpose to be to trigger that in people who'd seen RoboCop, or is this just the way Verhoeven rolls in this.
Well, he hasn't done it any other. But he hasn't done it any other films, has he?
No.
I mean, there's some stuff in Recall.
Yeah, there's some in commercials. Yeah. But that just bright.
That is his thing, definitely.
Yeah, that bright kind of big text graphic stuff, and
right,
I dig it. I think that stuff's great. Again, I don't think it worked as well. Actually, I think it was best when they were just showing that stuff, but when they tried to show it as a, I don't know, as a contrast to what was really going on, that didn't work for me as well here. But
and some of that stuff was really funny. I mean, the kids stomping on a pile of
cockroaches,
and the teacher laughing maniacally behind them.
Like an old duck and cover videos with that.
Right. Right. Soldiers handing the kids, you know, guns to play tug of war with and handfuls of ammunition.
But then, you know, like go the other way. And Michael Ironside's character is given these really important philosophical points to deliver. And no one ever goes with it. It's just like he just lays out this concept of what the difference is between a civilian and a citizen. And you don't ever like. It would have been so fascinating to me to see the different young characters. They're supposed to be like 19 or 20, but they're all played by 29-year-olds.
Right.
It would have been except for Patrick Muldoon, who looks like he's 45 in this movie. But anyway, it would have been really interesting to have them and NPH all sitting around talking about what it means to be a citizen and how, you know, how things used to be back in the 21st century that we're familiar with and that sort of thing. Yep. But they just I don't understand why Verhoeven doesn't ever go there.
Well, he's weird. What are you gonna do? Amy Smart was barely in it.
Yeah,
I didn't. I never noticed her.
I noticed her immediately. Said, "Oh my God, that's Amy Smart."
She's one of my.
Why is she taking her top off?
I have a thing for her, dude. I have a serious thing for Amy Smart.
She only took her top off in the Crank movie, right?
No.
Wait. She was in that Road Trip. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think she took her top off in the Crank movie. Did she? I think there was just a lot of simulated weirdness. I don't think she ever got naked in that thing, but she's in all sorts of movies where she's willing to.
We should watch Crank for Film Sack.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Not Crank 2, though. Crank 2 is dumb. First one was, I mean, they're both dumb, but Crank 2 is
not. You don't
want
to watch a movie for Film Sack because it's dumb?
Well, it's not. Ew, I don't even know how to explain it. I think Crank 2 is just a huge mistake. I think Crank 1 is actually interesting, but that second one is bad.
Right. I can't watch either one of them.
But Amy Smart,
indigestion.
Ryan Dunaway can't watch Crank.
Crank's fun.
Gives me indigestion, man. I can't stand it. Like,
this is right up your alley. Are you sure you know what you're talking about?
It's a Jason Statham.
I'm talking about.
I have a Jason Statham.
I love Jason Statham. I just didn't like that movie. I think it was just. I don't know if it was the way it was filmed or the way it was edited. There's just something that I know it's supposed to make you feel uneasy. But it just goes too far.
It makes you want to get up and run into a brick wall real hard.
I just don't want to watch it. I mean, it's like, it just annoys me so much. And it's like, I just don't want to look at it.
All right. Off the table. No Crank.
Huh. Okay.
One vote counts in this.
What about the Driver movies?
Love those.
Transporter. What about Transporter?
Transporters are awesome.
I'd watch the first one.
Yeah. They're not.
Actually, you know what? The second one's probably better. They get a little magical with some of his quote-unquote powers in the second one, like his abilities. I think that would be the funner one to do. And they got a great villain in that. But yeah, I'd be up for Transformers.
Transformers.
I don't know what Jason Statham is. Transformers. What Optimus Prime.
The teleporter? What is it?
Transporter.
The transporter.
Transporters drive from place to place.
all right. I don't know what I'm saying. Kept getting smacked in the face with the notion while I'm watching this that if this was made today, my money is on this would be a 3D movie. This would have been, was marketed to hell that it's 3D.
Definitely. Yeah. Starship Troopers 3D.
Yeah. He's not really doing much now.
$19 a ticket.
Yeah.
Verhoeven isn't?
Yeah. I guess he's 70 something now. He's born in 38, so been around for a while. But he's doing a lot of producing, but he's not making movies really anymore. Last one he really did that was like an actual proper theatrical release was Hollow Man.
Oh, wow.
And, that was pretty decent. Right.
I don't remember what that was.
Sorry. Kevin Bacon goes invisible and stucks.
It was actually pretty scary.
His wife was in it.
Ralph
right?
Macchio's girlfriend.
Oh, what? Oh, yeah. right.
Karate Kid.
It's not with his own. It's not with his Kira Sedgwick wife, is it? I thought she was in that. Okay.
No.
Maybe not. All right. They ever do anything together? Besides, you know.
Kira Sedgwick and. A prison. There was a prison movie where she plays a hooker and comes and services him. He's like a Murder in the First.
Pretty Woman? Oh, no, it's not.
Oh, Murder in the First with Christian Slater.
Christian Slater, yeah.
That's actually a pretty good movie.
It's really good, yeah.
Except there's they have this technique where the camera zooms around them over and over and over, though. And do you remember that? There's like a camera on the outside of the cell, and the entire, it's like a 10-minute scene. The camera just goes around the cell for the whole conversation. No, huh. Drove me slightly nuts. But other than that, that's a good movie.
But you can't overstate how bad Showgirls is for the career of someone. Like Paul Verhoeven really should have called that an Alan Smithy film.
Yeah.
Like it's that awful. There's no way he ever recovered from that or ever could.
Was that after this, was it, or before this?
After this.
Was it?
Oh, well, this was 97. No, it had to be before this.
Yeah, Showgirls was 95. But like that was it. You know, this is the guy who'd made Total Recall and Basic Instinct and Showgirls. Yeah. Put a stop to all of his success. Yeah.
That's really sad. It's too bad, you know? I don't know how. I mean, this movie had two sequels that I never heard of, Starship Troopers 2 and 3. And I hear 3 is good. Someone told me 3 is really good. But it's also direct to DVD. So,
And none of these feature any of the character or the characters or actors.
Third
right?
one does. It's got Casper Van Dien back.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can't remember who else. But what's he going to do? What's that guy doing? Nothing.
Waving around the most gorgeous face a man has ever had.
I don't know.
That guy should be an eyeglasses model, and he should be the most well-paid eyeglasses model ever.
Did you guys ever see that the reality TV show you had where it was him and his wife and kids and stuff?
Casper Van Dien had a reality show?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I remember he was doing, during the show, he was also doing the audio recording for the game.
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's married to some uppity up lady as well.
That's a great term. Stick with that.
Uppity up. I got a string of tropes. All right, this is going to come rapid fire
it's
here.
Called, yeah, string of tropes called Starship Troopers.
the infantry and fleet. So the Air Force and the Army fighting and acting all tribal about each other, and that's just such a trope in every war movie ever made.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like there's no way these two ever get along.
Of course, the leads would be boyfriend and girlfriend and be destined to be in the two different groups. Mm-hmm.
That makes your trope even better. Dude that runs up in the face of the enemy and yells, "You want some?" over and over. You want some of this? You want some of this? Blah, 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 blah. I like to call that the Hudson freaking proxy or whatever. Hey guys, just breaking in to give another thanks to our friends at Shutterstock.com sponsoring the program this week. Love these guys. They are really, really cool. The best part about them, as far as I'm concerned, is the time they took to sit down with me and talk to me about how their service worked. That's kind of a rare thing these days. They were that interested in making sure you guys understood where they're coming from. You'll find perfect image and video stuff for your next creative project. If you're like me, do a lot of artwork and layout and graphic design and stuff for people, you need a good website where you can pull that sort of stuff down easily and quickly. Their search engine is amazing. It's all sort of predictive search. And by searching for certain current words, the way Google works right now, where it kind of populates the results as you type, imagine that, but with all visual imagery and visual return data, like photos and vector images and other graphics. This stuff comes up immediately. You know exactly what you want, and you can pull it right out. It really gives you all the assets you need to take your projects, all your creative projects, to the next level. And they make it really, really easy. You'll find all the assets you're looking for, and you can save them in the Lightbox Gallery, which is really a great place. You can sort of access them and show them to people in real time, as a presentation to your other team members or prospective clients and that sort of thing. It's a complete offering, and they use real photographers for their photo work, and they vet everything that comes through. Here's the best part. You can try Shutterstock today. By totally free, just check it out. Free account, no credit card needed. To start an account, begin using Shutterstock to help imagine what your next project could be like. Save the assets you find to your new light box and so on. Once you decide to purchase, use this code, FilmSack11, and all new accounts will be 30% off. That's any package, too. We've got multiple packages. Something will work for just about anybody. I know I found one that works perfect for me. That's 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com. And don't forget the code FILMSACK11. That'll save you 30% on all new accounts. We thank Shutterstock for their support of FilmSack. Thanks, guys.
Right. I think that kind of cuts over with my ammo waster. trope as well.
I like your ammo waster trope.
Is that the same guy?
Yeah.
Is that the, don't worry, he's already dead. Don't keep shooting him. He's already dead. You're already covered with green goop. He's already dead. You want to stop now?
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of wasted ammo. Somebody said that this was up to the date, and I don't know if there's anything better now, but up to this moment in filmmaking, it was the most ammo, like actual shots you could count in any movie in the history of film.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I don't know who would say that and do that. Can you imagine that?
Who counts this crap?
I know.
You have to invent a computer program to listen to this thing and count the bullets.
Yeah. Here's another one. Movies that show the same footage twice. I always like those where it's like earlier, eight months earlier. I freaking hate that.
That was I don't understand why they even did that.
It was no really point to it.
Necessary.
Yeah. No point to it. It's like, at no point was I sitting around going, now, how did Casper Van Diem end up in a place where he's yelling at the camera after a dude gets cut in half? What in the world? Like, I was never asking that.
Right.
There's a guy on their blog who hates when I do voices, so I apologize. Really?
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's me. I'll stop.
Is that you and your little pseudonym name or whatever? All right. Yeah. And my last one that I know, and you guys can have more, of course, but got to throw a grenade into a tank hole in a war movie. Just the way it is. If it's a real tank, you're putting a grenade in there. If it's not a real tank, I don't think I've seen a movie, Indiana Jones included, every movie that has a tank where you're fighting a tank, running past a tank, getting on top of a tank, at some point you will open that thing, throw a grenade in it, shut it, and jump off.
Right.
In this case, it happened to be a giant beetle creature. But
I don't know if any of you guys have yet played Black Ops 2, but there's an early mission.
Yep. Very early. First one,
really. Jump up on a tank and throw a bomb down into the thing and jump off. Or you actually kind of get blown off. But
that's true. Like, but
one, so tropey.
Video games, movies, TV shows, if there is a tank, better have a grenade because that's where you'll be putting it.
Go ahead.
Football game, future football game. Guy's like, oh, I got to get back at that guy because he's talking to my girl. Give me the ball. Don't worry about it. Just give me the ball. Yeah.
Right, I've got this. I've got this.
Can I complain about future sport for a moment?
Yeah, sure.
So something about sport is that it doesn't change. Once it's kind of evolved to a state where everybody in the world likes it, that's it. You got your sport, and it doesn't change much because people need it to be consistent. People need baseball to be played the same today as it was 30 years ago, as it was 50 years ago, because then the statistics make sense, the tradition makes sense, and when you teach your kid about baseball, you're telling them about the same thing you learned when you were a kid. Like, it's so freaking weird to me when I see future sport, and it's a little like modern, like our actual sport, but it's changed in all these ways that it's not comparable anymore.
Yeah, it's like Learns Ball on Futurama.
I don't think that. I think it was kind of a good mix of what could happen. And I actually thought it was actually fairly effective.
But it never will, though, right?
Except for the fact that offense is crazy better than defense.
Right.
I mean, it's like crazy playing, better.
It's like Madden 2013 all up in here.
Right.
I don't know. Huge difference between leather helmets of the 1940s and the big resin helmets and, you know, the steel helmets we've got now.
Okay, that's a fair point. Like, maybe if you're just talking aesthetic, like gear stuff, maybe that's all that's supposed to represent.
I have no problem with the gear. I'm talking about the actual game.
Mm. Like it looked like arena football to me.
Didn't exactly like arena football. Didn't really play it long enough, other than I saw the scores were kind of like maybe in the two, like more like basketball. It was back and forth, more like basketball than football.
Yeah, or like a lacrosse with a football.
Flip around, there's one woman on the team, and somehow she's able to generate like ridiculous momentum. she hits people, and they go flying backwards, even though they weigh 50 pounds more than her. Like. Right.
It's pretty tropey.
It was really tropey.
It's almost scroty.
My scrot.
There you go. anything else that we
Hollywood tactics, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's the biggest trope in that. You're gonna give me a trope alert.
Oh, you want one of these here? Here.
Right, go ahead. I'm just gonna borrow this from the web. I'm gonna count off the Hollywood tactics. Ships parked shoulder to shoulder in orbit. Check. Underestimating an enemy that can throw asteroids at you from across the galaxy. Check. Fighting a ground war against a planet-bound enemy instead of just nuking them from orbit. Check. No artillery, armor, air, or orbital support for your massive ground assault, even when clearly shown having carpet bombing capabilities. Check. Not providing your troops with weapons that are commonly used by infantry today, such as mortars, anti-tank rockets, grenade launchers, machine guns. Check. After landing, announcing their presence at all Klondothu by exiting the landing craft, screaming while they're shooting off flares. Check. Attempting the Zerg rush when the other side is the Zerg. Check. Using horrendously ineffective assault rifles, though to be fair, they have slung under shotgun, against an enemy that can survive an entire clip being unloaded into it. Check. The only tactic on display is the circular firing squad, one for each bug. Check. No actual tactics whatsoever. Checkmate.
Yeah, not once.
Right.
Not once. I feel like we just started the show over. Like, you just did your intro.
You bring up such a good point about the stupid asteroid. Like, they have the ability to
asteroid.
Fire
emphasis on ass, by the way. Asteroid. Right. Get it? Get
asteroids.
Yeah.
Through, across from one side of a galaxy to another, yet they can't leave their, they can't do anything to leave their planet.
Right. Like,
how do they know we're out there?
Yeah, it's like, right,
just
there they are.
Shoot.
Yeah. Okay, I think we got them. Let's do another one.
Yes, we have mastered on interstellar travel, but we know about these Earthlings over here. We're going to keep firing these asteroids somehow at them.
It has got to be so awful to be an actual military genius and watch a movie like this.
Yeah, even movies that are so steeped in fantasy and sci-fi.
I'd love to see a military genius sit in the movie theater cussing this movie out.
Oh, son of a mother.
Yeah. It's real bad. It's like knowing what the internet is and seeing the net again, you know?
Oh, dude.
Right.
But one trope that did kind of irritate me as an action trope and is so many almost made it moments in this movie where people are like, they're running towards the ship, almost made it, not dead.
Yep.
Running towards this, almost made it, no.
Right.
And it just totally the whole movie. It's like, yeah. By the end, I didn't get my hopes up. I'm like, oh, he's running towards it. Oh, he's dead.
And it's silly. The last half, as much as I enjoyed it, it's silly. It's ridiculous. It's over the top and dumb.
I really thought Jake Busey's character was going to bite it. They killed off half the cast.
Oh, right. You mean Baby Busey or Little Busey?
Little Busey.
Jake Busey.
You know what's going to weird you out, guys? I have a clip in here at some point that sounds where Jake Busey sounds like his dad in a very haunting way.
Oh yeah, he looks a lot. I mean, he's got his dad's genetics through and through.
Yeah, there's no question. It's not like, oh, we think it might have been the milkman. Nope, it's freaking Busey.
I've always wondered if that's my son.
I got one more trope.
Oh, I guess he is. He's got those teeth that look like sheetrock. They look like drywall panels.
Yeah, come here, boy. All right, go ahead.
More than once in the film, they have the Leroy Jenkins, the guy, you know, the guy who gets a little too overzealous and runs out while everybody's retreating,
and
he gets just totally destroyed by the bugs. That can't be. I'm pretty sure that the in reality, the first guy to retreat is the normal thing, like the dude who goes running back when everybody else is still firing forward. The guy who goes running forward when everybody else is running back, no way. That bugs the hell out of me.
Yeah, that's a good
trope. No pun intended.
No, I see bugs. I get it. All right. Well, let's move on to some clips. I have many of them, and I start with this one: the three Ricos.
Rico. Rico. Rico.
I just like how he
suave. What?
I'm too busy working with this MS Paint thing on my desk.
Right. Don't you wish your Wacom Cintiq sounded like diamonds on glass as you drew on it?
Yeah. The fidelity.
I made notes about that.
The fidelity on that thing
but
was amazing.
You do kind of wish that you had access to that sort of easy animation. The animation that guy was able to pull off in a few seconds was awesome.
It had a great name on it, too. It was like Fed Art or Fed Draw. So it was like the Federation, but apparently they also make, you know, easy drawing apps to use while you're at school.
Well, they save lots of money on hiring ex-injured people as teachers. Everybody was horribly disfigured who taught.
That's true.
They pay you by the limb.
We need a new teacher. Right. How about the golden girl who's blind now from
right. Congratulations. You served well. Now go teach.
There is something about seeing her looking like that just tickled me. I don't know why. I like that. Speech on authority. A little bit of authority lesson here for you.
When you vote, you are exercising political authority. You're using force. And force, my friends, is violence. The supreme authority from which all other authority is derived.
Okay, I couldn't get, and Randy, you can speak to this, but I couldn't get away from the feeling that a lot of times when he would pontificate and share these, you know, poignant lessons or whatever, that stuff gleaned from the book.
Right, yeah. The voice of Robert Heinlein comes through in only this one character Whereas in the books, in Robert Heinlein's books, he always has multiple characters that speak for him. And they're all, like I say, they're all real Randian. They're all real powerful, successful characters because, I mean, why not put your voice in their faces?
Sure.
But in this thing, like, I almost felt like he was an afterthought, you know?
Yeah.
And it's too bad because it's the interesting thing about the story is the idea of this civilization where you earn the right to vote. And what that means and so on.
Plus, he's an old buddy of Verhoeven's. It was easy to get him cast, I'm guessing. They worked on Total Recall together. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. All right. Denise Richards is a bad actress. How do I know? Check it out.
Marco's sister made pilot.
So were you.
I mean, imagine flying a 500,000 tons of Starship. You got nerves of steel.
She's bad, dude.
She is so bad. It's even worse when you're just hearing her and not seeing her. I think that's probably the deal is she's so pretty you forget.
Exactly. You're so pretty.
Yeah, just like an angel.
Yeah, but go look at her robot visage right now. Look at her now. It's something wrong. Ugh, I don't like that at all.
For a while, thanks to the soup, Tina and I were watching Denise Richards, colon, It's Complicated.
Yeah. Is that a show? Is that a
that
thing?
That was a show. You don't pronounce colon, but you just...
Right. I like this.
Denise Richards, colon.
Denise Richards, apostrophe, yes, colon, Is Complicated.
And she is a train wreck, but I think some of that is what Charlie Sheen did to her.
Yeah. That was a bad move. Bad move. All right. Golden Girl time.
They can colonize planets by hurling their spore into space.
Ugh. Gross.
Did I say spore? I meant semen.
Yeah. She's great, though. More of her, please. Jeez, who should have had her show up with all the other old guys that wanted to have one last fight?
Am I the only one who watching all of the end of high school sequences or end of college, really? Am I the only one who thought of the TV show Community? Because what? It just felt like Ken Jeong was going to jump out as Senor Chang at any moment.
You mean the party they were having after?
Just the sequence where, you know, like Michael Ironside's class, and then they're in Rue McClanahan's class. And
right.
I'm just thinking, the next thing you know, they're going to be in, I don't know why. It just
I'd
felt
be down
like
with
Community
that.
To me.
A Senor Chang anytime, please. all right, here is Just Throw Me the Ball, Diz.
Just Throw Me the Ball, Diz.
Ugh. Yeah, that's your moment where you want to.
Are we watching Teen Wolf? What happened?
This is all Teen Wolf.
Just give it to me. I'll take care of it.
Something about friends.
Johnny, how come we never got together?
Can't we just be friends, Diz?
Dude, you douche. She's cuter than the other one anyway. Really, mm-hmm. More attractive to me. Anyway,
right.
I don't like.
It's
Barbie
weird because
though.
They're about the same age, but she does look like she's about 5-10 years older than him in those high school scenes. They all look too old for high school.
As always.
But she's, you know, they're both right around our age. They're both right around.
Yeah, they're a little
41,
older.
42.
They're actually, let's see.
Oh, 42, 43.
The guy that played Xander's 44. I did some looking
she's
on this.
40. She's 42.
Dina Meyer is 42.
I felt like I just heard Brian Dunaway yawning.
I think that was a Brian Dunaway yawning.
Might have been a Scully. What's go what? Might have been a Scully.
All right. Way to go, Carl.
Way to go, Carl.
I just like
way
that.
To go, Carl.
Way to go, Carl. Clancy Brown comes in, says some stuff, kind of like he always does.
The first words and the last words out of your stinking holes will be, sir. Do you get me?
Sir, yes, sir.
Okay. I've got. Okay, here's the line where it's Jake Busey. And tell me if you think this sounds like his dad to a T. This sounds like he has his voice box. Here you go.
That's my job you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Yeah.
There's something about the word about at the end. Listen.
That's my job you're talking about.
About.
All right. Hank from Breaking Bad makes
it. Yes, Hank Schrader.
Yep. Here to solve the crime here.
Are you rated to repair the M3 tactical helmet, Rico?
That's great.
That dude looks exactly the same.
Yep.
He does. I love it when I like retro spot somebody because I'd never even associated him with this movie at all whenever I saw him in Breaking Bad.
Oh, it's kind of like how we saw Season of the Witch, and Brian and I were talking about this the other day about Misfits on BBC, and they're showing it on Hulu, and I've been catching up on it. And the funny kid in there, Nathan Young in the show, was totally in Season of the Witch, and I don't remember who the hell that is in Season of the Witch.
Right.
but it was apparently a kind of major role. I don't remember
He was the kid. He's the kid who follows them along as they're going on this journey. Like he's the as they're making their way to the castle deal place at the end. Oh God, I'm barely remembering Season of the Witch.
It's castle deal place.
Castle deal place.
Yeah, you know the one.
Was he on the bridge pushing the horse or not?
He was pushing the horse. All right. Yes.
All right. How about this? Is just a reminder. That's Nick Cage for you.
Castle deal place.
Wow.
That's the one. All right. Here is I like this. This is just a good line.
Is that Geneva?
Goddamn bugs whacked us, Johnny.
Johnny.
They whacked us, Johnny.
They whacked us, Johnny.
Johnny, I'm not going to make it.
All right.
What is the only kind of good bug?
The only good bug is a dead bug.
Yeah.
A dead bug.
This is when you can tell the clips start getting into we are out in the war now. And we're no longer just hanging out talking. I like this line because it reminds me of Star Trek. And I like it when people are referred to as number two. So here you go.
Steady as she goes, number two.
I was making so many jokes at that point.
Steady.
Number two, I need to go take a number one. I'll be right back, number two.
Who do you work for?
Yeah.
Nicest captain ever, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, she was great.
From Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. She looked like someone I'd seen on Star Trek.
I'm sure she's been on Star Trek.
Yeah, I couldn't find
it. Did she not come up? Really?
No. Wow. Nope, and I feel bad. I accused Daryl of
not spotting
what's her name, and I'm like, and it was the wrong movie. It was Super Troopers.
No, I was egging you on too.
Oh, that was stupid.
Who's the Trek nerd now, Daryl?
I know.
Who's the Trek nerd now?
Here's the bear. The bear. Oh, the beer. Okay, I like this line. This is Michael Ironside rewarding. I wrote bear for some reason.
He's rewarding people with a bunch of beer that you have to wonder what would have happened to it if they had failed.
Yeah.
Like, they clearly beamed down a bunch of beer in advance of their success.
He would have sat around and moped and drank it by himself.
Yeah. Well, before that, though.
I'm going to eat
all this
beer.
Steady as she goes. Number two.
Listen.
Zach Brannigan.
If Billy, what's his name?
Billy West.
Billy West ever dies, and you need a new Zach Brannigan. I think
and
Fletcher's
he will,
gotta,
actually.
Yeah, he will at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shouldn't say if, it's a matter of when. All right, here is the beer part.
I expect the best, and I give the best. Here's the beer.
I expect I would the just best, like and to I point give out, the best. Here's the beer.
I would like to. Oh, I thought he said he gets the best. Oh,
I thought
well, never
expect, mind. It's the same.
Expect the best. Right.
It's about the same.
And here's Brandon Strong appeared as Rochella on Star Trek Next Generation, the episode When the Bout Breaks.
Oh.
Very good.
Well, then we did that one early. I knew I'd seen her before.
Yeah, and I even remember her being in Star Trek, and I'm trying to remember what the plot of that episode was. But
as soon as I saw her face, I went, "Oh yeah, her saying number two like that."
I had to go look because I had to be sure.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we all feel better now that you did. when I put up that we were watching this movie, a bunch of people on Twitter sent this line to me.
They sucked his brains out.
Apparently, that's iconic for this movie.
I didn't
his
know.
Brains out.
The only thing iconic to me in having never seen it before was the shower scene. I had heard about the shower scene many times over the last 15 years.
Oh, so you haven't? This is your first viewing of this?
Oh, yes. Really?
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I should have asked.
I could never bring myself to watch it because, like I say, back before I grew up and learned a lot about the world, this was an important book to me as a teenager,
as a young boy. Here's some more advice from Fletcher.
Shoot a nuke down a bug hole. You got a lot of dead bugs.
Yeah, so we're going to spend the whole movie, you know, not doing that.
Yeah, not at all.
Right.
But instead, they're going to do this great scene where they punch a dude and he makes a funny whimper. So this is the Colonel. He's been in the freezer. He's a total wimp. He's a trope in his own right. And he gets punched because he won't calm down and he makes this funny sound. So here is the punch and the sound. Just made me laugh.
That guy's in every single Paul Verhoeven movie, isn't he?
Is he? I think there was some. Yeah, there said something in the trivia about him being a cameo that you see all the time in movies. His movies.
Yeah.
All right. I need a corporal. Oh, this is Fletcher again.
I need a corporal. You're it until you're dead, or I find someone better.
That's better than the way it was depicted in the film.
I agree. All right. Here is something about the bug.
Today we're gonna pay a visit to Bug City. We're looking for a bug no one's ever seen before. Some kind of smart bug.
This is real bad dialogue, dude.
Sir, are you being literal? Because I don't want to go to Bug City. It doesn't sound like fun.
I think we'd be outnumbered there.
Yeah, can we go to Emerald City? That sounds better.
If you're being facetious, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's Pincus.
Pincus?
No, not really. Here's
Oh, you got me.
No, you did not lie. You did not lie.
No,
you
I didn't
really
lie.
Got me.
Here's Scott Fletcher again with another reading.
A bug planet. A planet hostile to life.
Exactly. Thank you.
The reporter.
Mm-hmm. And then, indeed, the final quote, supposed to be the most iconic line of the movie. I was told on Twitter. I don't know if this is true, but this was right behind that other one. And you can tell me if you think so or not. Here it is.
It's afraid. It's afraid!
That's how they know the war is won, because the big vagina bug is afraid.
That has got to be a moment in NPH's career when he's like, I need to be a serious actor because this is such bullshit. This is, you know what I mean? Like, there is nothing redeeming in that scene. It makes no sense. It's just stupid as hell.
Yeah.
Why do I
get chill bumps every time he does it?
I don't know. There's something wrong with you because it's just so bad.
You got swine flu, dude. You better get checked.
Afraid.
We haven't played any Neil Patrick Harris up till now, but I do recall this was the first time I'd seen him do anything since Doogie Howser. Mm-hmm. And another thing people have been saying on Twitter is that this was his breakout role, and it very well may have been. So maybe he owes a bunch of his resurgence as somebody to watch or pay attention to this, or maybe it's the White Castle movie, or I don't know what the thing is that really put him on top, but or put him back, I guess, or got him, you know. Got him back out there. And in the age of Twitter and stuff, he sort of endears himself to us and people like us anyway, just sort of easily because he kind of gets it. But up till then, I don't think he was doing anything of note.
We just kept calling him Doogie.
Yeah, it was easy to just write him off and say, oh, who was that kid that played Doogie Howser? And clearly nobody cares about kid actors when they hit puberty. But here he was, you know, saying a dumb line. But
still looking young.
Yeah, he looks great. He looks great now.
Yeah.
I might be gay for him.
Dude does not age.
I might be gay. Just kidding. No, I'm not using this episode of Starship Troopers to announce that I'm gay. Don't write that down. Pincus.
Pincus. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nick, I need to play a podcast for you. I need you to listen to this.
You need to listen very carefully. There's a whole bunch of stuff to get through. We got a whole bunch of stuff in the middle, but down toward the end, you'll learn the jaded truth about your father.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, moving on to our awards. Whoa, hold on. There's got to be a clip to play for that, and it's not ready. Here we go. It's the Film Sack Awards, ladies and gentlemen. Roll on up to the red carpet and set a spell, because these are the awards that it has been dying to win, and it's won. The best shocking accidental stray bullet moment in recent memory. That looked pretty great.
Great?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was gross, but it looked great for what it was supposed to do. The effects still look great award. So it's another award. So doing well in the special effects category here.
And it won awards that year.
Except when they got
for an Academy Award.
Except when they got too close to the face of the brain bug and the whole Sarlacc thing.
Those are your two big issues.
Yeah.
And then finally, the best use of a Golden Girl Award clearly goes to this movie, because I don't think anything Betty White has done lately is really all that interesting. So give it to Rue McClanahan, who is now dead.
Oh.
Star Trek connections. There we mentioned one earlier. I'll tell you the other one. Izzy was in Nemesis. She was in the movie. What's the actress's name again?
Dizzy. Dina Meyer.
What did I say? Izzy?
Yes.
Oh, the guitarist from Poison.
Izzy Stratton.
She was our great horror movie trope.
Oh, right. She's been in all the Saw stuff.
I'm just saying, but as tropes go, the whole thing where you spend the whole film waiting to get laid and you finally get laid, then you immediately get killed doing a freaking end zone dance in front of a Zerg rush, by the way.
Yeah.
She one of those didn't quite make it moments again. I was like, oh, she's going to die.
Yeah. That's a double trope, isn't it? Both the get laid and the end zone dance thing.
Yeah, totally. I'm a little sad that she's not one of the ones. You could have off Busey and I'd have been fine with it. I think you should have had her live. Because what was he going to do? He doesn't matter. He's Jake Busey. There's a movie with him in it. I just want to make a recommendation. There's a Jake Busey movie where he plays a deputy in a kind of southern, southeastern, or southwestern town movie.
Copland?
No. Crap. It's got the guy that played Ray Charles. I can't think of his name.
The Night.
Django, the new Django. What's his name? He used to be on
In Living Color.
In Living Color. What's this guy's name?
Oh, Fox? Jamie Fox?
Jamie Fox. Jeez. Anyway, plays this guy, gets stuck in this town.
Alcohol. It's got
multiple people in that movie from Northern Exposure, like the guy that played Maurice and the guy that owned the bar that was married to the young girl, and just all these great actors. Moves. It's a great little weird movie. I can't remember the name of it, so this is a stupid recommendation, but go look up his history, and it's good. Anyway, moving on. Soundtrack
you're
great.
About,
P.S. for Pretty
held
Strong.
Up.
Oh, what? Who?
Held Up.
Who did? Oh, Held Up. Held That's up. The movie.
It's the name of the movie.
Yeah. I thought it was fun. It was delightful.
Okay.
There are worse things to spend your time doing is what I'm getting at. They gave the soundtrack grade a P.S. for Pretty Strong. I thought it was all right for what it was. Mm-hmm. It's just nice and loud and, you know.
Yeah, a lot of military themes. Dun, 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 dun. Mm-hmm. Except not the one from Stripes that I
was going to do. You're doing the Stripes one. all right, let's get to the tweeters.
I was down with the score.
Yeah,
I just want to say, like, there were plenty of times when there was a battle going on with a bunch of Zerg, and I just was like, okay, I've seen this already in this movie, and I'm just going to close my eyes and listen to the music, and the music was nice.
It was fine. Let's sum it up in a Twitter post. Let's start with you, Randy. In 140 characters or less, what can you do?
Starship Troopers. Paul Verhoeven takes a Robert Heinlein book about self-reliance and turns it into a Michael Bay film about having sex in less than 20 minutes because it's so easy to get it up after Michael Ironside has just doubled your allowance of hump time.
20 minutes.
20 minutes? What, are we going to do it twice, Doc?
Yeah, jeez.
Don't put that kind of pressure on me.
Yeah, no doubt. Mr. Dunaway.
Starship Troopers, better titles. Come on, you apes, do you want to watch this movie forever? Or How I Mind Controlled Your Brain Bug and Having Sex With Me.
I like your alternate titles. We should do that every week. That's a funny idea. You know, like to come up with an alternate title for that. Think about that. That's not bad. Let it go, Brian. And then finally, Brian Ibbett.
Starship Troopers. It's like watching a comic book come to life. Well, maybe more like a comic book come to comic book with better graphics.
Nice. I did like the graphics. I thought they were fantastic.
How were the graphics?
Well, they were just great. All right, moving on. Here's what I learned. What?
Do me a favor sometime. Yeah. Come to FilmSec with a soundboard ready from old ELR.
The ELR days? Sure.
Yeah.
How about
Bleep You?
That's not one.
Like I want like the old ELR news sound and
I don't know
how
any
were the
of that
graphics.
Is. I'm sure I have one of that somewhere. Stuff? I probably have. You know what? Just for people listening at home, if you've never heard this, fine. But if you have and you're feeling nostalgic for it, how about this? Graphics. Wait. Graphics. I think I have some of this stuff.
This is funnier than the arcade.
Yeah, this is it. Check it out.
How were the graphics?
Oh wow. You sounded
good. Graphics.
Oh, that sounded so young there, Scott.
What?
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains.
It was all of 5 years ago. I was so young. Jeez. All right. Anyways,
damn American South.
Pretty weird.
Oh yeah.
What was I gonna do? Oh, well, here's what I learned. While you made the tank swallow your grenade, accompanied by a gulping sound. Mm-hmm. In Starship Future, arena football succeeded.
Mm.
People are really
so
used to
man.
Yeah, indeed. People are really used to the idea of co-ed showers in Starship Land. That you can still get busted for the death of a guy who took off his helmet, even though the bullet hit him in a place that the helmet didn't cover.
Right. I always thought that.
Right. Exactly.
That's what I learned. Got an email here from a listener named Will. Says, hey, Film Sackers, I played Wesley on Star Trek The Next Generation. I just listened to your episode of Face Off, and I loved it. There was a part where you talked about why they put the backslash in the name of the film. So they wouldn't mistake the movie for a hockey movie. Well, this morning I saw Face Off was going to be on a local channel, and in the description it had the plot for Face Off. But when it started, it turned out to be the 1971 hockey movie Face Off with a dash in it, starring Art Hindle, Trudy Young, and John Vernon. I thought it also had. I'm thinking of it's the other hockey movie that Paul Newman was in.
Mighty Ducks.
Oh, right. Slapshot.
Slapshot.
Mighty Ducks.
Quick, name a hockey movie.
I think we just did. Named them all.
Had a good chance of getting it.
I think that's... Sudden Death. Are there any others? That's it.
There's others.
Oh, Miracle.
There's others. Canada is filled with other hockey movies.
That's true. Miracle. Degrassi Junior High. That was a hockey movie. Just kidding. Let's see. I laughed out loud when I realized they made the mistake that you guys were talking about on the show. Love the show, guys. Will. So not only that, the listing had the name with the slash in it, and it described it as the movie. But then they showed the hockey movie from 71.
They probably have a database, and somebody typed it in.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Love this kind of stuff. Thank you for finding that, Will. If you'd like to send us emails, you can. Filmsack@gmail.com. A note of reminderhood that next week's movie will be what? I didn't write it down again. What the hell?
Next week's movie is Idiocracy.
Oh, that's right. Idiocracy. And it's...
somebody sent this, right?
Correct. I don't believe you can get it streaming right now, which kind of sucks, but a lot of you have probably seen it. It's the Mike Judge movie some years back.
We occasionally get films sent to us, and we kind of have a backlog.
Yeah, we do. We owe it to them to get them covered, so we want to make sure to get this beast under wraps, and that'll happen.
It's like a big FilmSack jukebox. If you want to hear something that you like, then
put your quarter in the jukebox.
Put a quarter in Brian's slot.
Yeah. Right. It's around the back. It's around the back if you're wondering where that is. So Idiocracy, that'll be lots of fun. It's got one of the Wilson brothers in it. Luke.
Not Owen. Yes.
The Luke Wilson.
Yeah, the Luke
not
Wilson.
Not Owen.
The pretty one?
The one with the good nose. The one that nose is not broken yet. So watch for that. That'll be fun. It'll be interesting because I think we're going to have a lot of chance for conversation about what the message of that movie is trying to be and less about the actual movie. I mean, we don't normally do comedies of this type, but the message they're trying to say about the future is,
gosh,
I think
not.
I do. I like that conversation.
I hope we're making fun of the president of the USA.
Camacho, whatever.
It got's what plants crave and crap like that.
Well, we will. I'm sure some of that will come up.
Right.
But I want to talk about the future.
That's right. Camacho is the president in that, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he just died.
Macho.
No,
Camacho.
No.
Oh, was that another internet hoax?
No, you guys.
No. Hector Camacho, the boxer, died.
Well, Hector Camacho, not Macho Camacho. Two different guys?
Well, wait, okay. Who's the guy that played President Camacho?
Machos.
Who played right, President please. Camacho? That's the question.
It's a film sack.
Terry Crews.
Oh, yeah, Terry Crews.
Oh, didn't Terry Crews have something happen to him recently? Yeah. No?
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
Just got more dashingly handsome, if that's what you mean.
Oh, see, that's how little I remember the movie. It was like, I thought it was like, oh, President Macho Camacho, kind of like a Jerry Ventura kind of thing.
Right. Oh, Terry Crews from Expendables. Got it. All right.
Right. Terry Crews has been in a couple of things we've watched.
Yeah. Is he the one that's in that commercial where he runs around screaming and throwing people into stuff?
Yes.
That's kind of
his,
yeah.
That's his claim to fame.
Office linebacker?
Yeah. Is that Terry Crews?
No. It's Terry Tate.
Oh, Terry Tate.
Terry Tate, see, office linebacker.
I'm almost getting the Terry's confused.
Got it. Luke Wilson, Maya Wolf, Rudolph, Dax Shepard, Terry Crews. Let's see, who else would you know in here? Robert Musgrave.
I have to fill the void left in this entire network by Obsidian Abnormal many years ago. He always loved to list out the whole name. It was President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
He loves saying that. You're right about that.
That's absolutely right, yeah.
So that'll be fun, you know? Why the hell not? Why not Idiocracy? You'll find out next week what we think.
After that, we got Independence Day, Equilibrium, Predators with the plural S on the end of it.
You guys are going to really make me watch Independence Day.
Yes, we are.
Oh, Lord.
Sure. Come on. It's got Brent Spiner.
It's been long enough. I think
it's got a Mac virus downloading program with a cancel button.
I just think it's so important that we watch Independence Day as far away from July 4th as possible.
Right.
It's pretty bad. This is about as far as
you can
be.
We're just afraid that Netflix is going to pull it before.
They've done it before. Why not now? Yes. All right. So stay tuned for that. That's Idiocracy next week and lots more cool movies coming after that. Let us get out of here by telling you can visit us on the web, filmsack.com. It's a fantastic place to find the show archives, links to our forums, and more fantastical stuff like that. So go there. We'd like you to do that. And the forums are great. There's always hipping and hopping in there. There are people interested in talking about movies and TV and
apparently rapping too.
Yeah.
Hipping and hopping.
And there's really fun discussion on filmsack.com and the comments for each post.
Yeah, especially go back a ways and look at Wet Hot American Summer. See what you think of that.
You want to see some comments.
Yeah, that's like YouTube. It's like YouTube. It's our own version of YouTube. Anyway, right. You can email us, filmsack@gmail.com. And as always, you'll find us on Twitter @filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes. That's only if you love us, because we'd love to read those as well. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yep.
We'll see you next time.
Ice cream, Lieutenant Redrick. Ice cream.
Information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
They sucked his brains out.